I've been tough for 2 years, and you know more. But there's some more. It helps. Especially if we have something to breathe. It opens us to God. There's so much in our world where we rely on our own strength. J.D. Phillips said that society would think this blessed and hard oil, the hard boiled food, they never let life work. And that there is that sense of separating ourselves from what's going around, not feeling it. But in this verse, when it says, blessed are those who mourn, it takes up the deepest level of sadness, of a sadness unto death. That's very similar to the sadness of the mourning that Jesus felt, for example, in Gethsemane. It was sad unto death. It's not a weak word. It doesn't simply mean weepy. It means that your whole spirit feels the deep sadness within unto death. And as I said earlier, the Greek word, when it says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And again, it speaks of to come alongside in the Greek, to come alongside. It's sort of to come alongside like this. I shared with you before when my son was younger, and I wanted to comfort him or reveal something with him. This was uncool from his dad. But I made it cooler because I hugged him with comfort. I gave him such a bear hug. I lifted him up in the air. He's a little harder now. He's 6'11", but on a few pounds. But he has to come alongside. And the word in English, comfort, comes from the root word fortis, which is to bring strength, a transfusion of strength, a reinforcement of strength, of dealing with the task at hand. Now, I have a difficult task this morning because there's two sides to this verse. And we're in a pattern where we're going to go each beatitude each week. So sometime down the road, if you want, I'll preach to each side again, or at least one of them, which I want to do worst on. But one side is the personal sense of loss, of you lose someone particularly, and the other is the corporate sense of loss. In the context of grief, it's hard. We mourn the past, what we lost. We remember what was. And in that remembrance is some healing. I think my wife, she's teaching the children upstairs, and she's got Sour Patch candy, so they can taste the sweet and sour. I didn't trust you with it. But it's that sweet and sour of remembrance that's both hard and healing. There's the grief or the mourning of the present. What has changed? How we feel? How we're going to get through it all? There's the future aspect of grief. What could have been? What could have been? And we see this not just in the loss of a life, but when someone is struck down with illness and they'll never be able to do some of the things they used to do, there is that sense of what's lost. For a number of people, when they lose a parent, say a father, and they're just beginning to get to know that father, and then the father is gone. With my dad, a ship captain, I knew how to play cards and checkers and argue with him. And I was just beginning to get to know him when he was struck down with a disease that facilitated his not being able to share. And so I grieved for 12 years till he died, and then personal, more privately, and there's a corporate component, which in the body of Christ is by nature more intercessory or lament before God. That Psalms are filled with it. We'll come back to that, but there's 67 Psalms of lament, and the whole book of the Bible by Jeremiah the prophet, Lamentations. And so it's important that we do this. I'm going to start with the corporate side. John the Baptist lamented what he saw in society. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." If you will, it was almost like, let's see if you can identify with this. Did you ever have your house not fully ready for company? And then you had a whole bunch of surprise visitors? Or maybe you said, "Well, we're coming in over in 10 minutes." Or maybe it was mother-in-law. And so they're coming, and this will surprise you, but once or twice in my household, Dan suggested the need of my help to clean up my mess very quickly. And in fact, I felt a veil threat. I'm not sure we failed. John the Baptist says, "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Jesus is coming. Be ready." But Jesus had that moment. He looked over Jerusalem. He cried. He wept. Jesus wept. John 11:35. He wept for the sins of people. He wept because they were not ready for the sorrow that was going to come to them. He wept because the nation, the people of Israel were conquered. They were losing their values in their secular society of Rome. The prophets lament. Nehemiah, his heart is broken, if you read the first chapter of Nehemiah, because the walls and the gate line were up. One of the byproducts of getting older. Although I really want to thank some of you here on your birthday. I really want to thank those that told me how old they were. And they were older than me. Because that was very helpful. But as you get old, you remember how things were. And there's parts of that that makes me mourn. Sure. Who's the one the long ranger? Of course, we're arrivals. And you never saw blood. Because it didn't want to desensitize you to the pain of loss and the suffering of it. And now I'm going to a movie and they cut off appendages. Stopping a carrot. And they desensitized to the violence of our world. And after a period of time, people have become not desensitized, become dangerous. And it's a byproduct of the violence that surrounds us. Our Lord Jesus would have never looked at those movies. I don't know if it would have gone. But if he had, he would never have gone to them without lamenting the sadness they represented. I lament the media, the TV, the movies, the journals that trivialize the participation. And we know it's the sign of the devalued life. And it devalues people. And if we do not lament, we become part of the group that devalues. And we close ourselves from the comfort of God. I lament that the Ten Commandments, in so many ways, becomes a joke. But I lament that someone who would seek a Puritan type standard is ridiculed. I lament that keeping yourself, especially when you're young, for the bride of your future, is mocked. How people on the television media, movies, and the like make fun of divorce and say, oh, she was hard to live with, of course he divorced her. Or him. I want to make a point that does not have the values of God born into us. I lament a climate where we send people off to war without a full sense of the seriousness of it. And I don't care about the politics of it, I care about the life and death of it. I lament that people go to war and they come back changed. You lose a portion of yourself when you deal with someone else's life. I don't lament the sacrifice and the honor of serving. I lament how we trivialize the effort that was brought forth. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for God is coming. Repent, because God wants to comfort you. And he doesn't comfort you when you proclaim that it doesn't matter. When we trivialize the parts of people that destroy others. The mother from dad said she was not to be there for their loved ones. I lament when children are filled with anger over their loss. Lost childhood. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. By the way, I've already blown off the second half of my sermon. I don't lament it. Blessing and lamenting is that we care for ourselves and for others as God cares for us and for others. And when we do that, the mourning becomes the lament. I told you there are 67 Psalms of Lament with the Book of Lamentations. We draw comfort when the mourning becomes lament, because the lament is a prayer to God. It's asking for God's help. It's asking God to enter into the mix. Final of my sermon. Mourning, M-O-U-R-N, I-N-G, glory. It can't even be mourning glory without the new. It's when the sunrise of God's presence comes upon us. darkness of our world and our lives and seek His forgiveness. We can look in the darkness and see what can be done. And can pray for it to be done and do what we can do. Because once we move beyond that which traps us, that which chains us, skipping the personal learning stuff for the most part. Even there, in times of my greatest mourning, personally, it was the sense that God was with me that helped me to behold His glory. I'm going to read something and I'll close. It's from the second half sermon, but the short second half. Kind of like when your team is losing by a lot and you just can't wait for the viewer. But this is a touchdown, so listen. Anna Weems, and she's a Presbyterian poet. I've met her a couple of times. And she's very touching in her poetry, very sharing of where her heart is. She says, she lost a son, 21-year-old son, in very tragic circumstances. We won't go into it. And she was devastated. In fact, she said, the stars fell from the sky. You see, mourning tends to bring us into a sense of darkness or despair. And people come and they offer her what help they could, and they try to comfort her. And then one day, our friend's a biblical scholar who was writing a commentary on Jeremiah. He said that she should write her own Psalms of Lament. He said they're poetic prayers full of pain and honest questions, but they are prayers of faith. This is just a portion of what she wrote. Oh God, what am I going to do? He is gone, and I'm left. Left with an empty pit in my life. How could you have allowed this to happen? I thought you protected your own. You have the power. Why didn't you use it? You have the glory. But there was no glory in His death. You have justice and mercy. Yet there was no justice or mercy for Him. And it goes on, seeking God and asking the hard questions. In prayer, she gets a sense that God is with her. And when she gets that sense, she concludes with these words. Oh, Holy One, I am confident that you will save me. You are the power and the glory. You are the justice and the mercy. You are my God. To her. And the heart of God comes to her. It doesn't stop the pain, but she's no longer alone because she traded her sorrows for the glory.